Hey, Glenn Kessler of Media Curves. You can check him out online at MediaCurves.com. Glenn, let's start, if we can, with just a 101 for folks who've never heard of Media Curves. What is it y'all do?
Basically, it's part of a company I own. We're a communications research company called HCD Research. And in 2004, we had developed a method for quantitatively testing television commercials. We thought an interesting way of getting attention to it was to test all of the Bush and Kerry ads in that 2004 cycle. And in the process, we were testing the ads with hundreds of people every night. In the process, we randomly picked up a web ad, which none of us had heard of, but looked sort of interesting, and tested it and found that it had an incredible impact on voters, and that was the Swift Boat ad.
Now, before you tell that story, just so folks know what we're talking about, you do that kind of thing where you hold a dial in your hand, and if you like something, you turn it one way, and if you don't like it, you turn it the other way, and as you're watching the commercial, you can sort of see the lines moving, right?
Yeah, except it's on the internet, and so we send a link to people, we opt them in, we pay them, and we have them answer questions about their perceptions of an issue or a candidate. We play a video, we ask them questions, and then we show them the video again, and we ask them to move their mouse left or right, depending on levels of believability and then levels of interest. So we're able to capture an average by second for all the viewers. And we're able to determine what portions of ads are believable, which ones are unbelievable, and so on.
Fantastic.
And so we do that every day.
Yeah.
And this is find out what works.
And, of course, this is totally and supremely applicable to political ads because political candidates want to know, hey, is this? Am I reaching people with this? Is this working or is it not? And you can answer that question for them.
That's correct. But actually, we sort of answer it for the media as opposed to candidates. While we've done some work with political candidates, we try to stay neutral, and we try to report what people really believe. To give you an example, I got interested in it again in 2004 when Howard Dean did his supposed rant. I got interested because I saw that rant, went to bed. The next morning, when I went to bed, I thought, boy, this guy is a doctor, politician, and probably a bright man, but one lousy cheerleader. When I woke up the next day, this guy was, according to the media, unstable, volatile, and maybe not having the mental capacity to become president of the United States. And I saw that, and I wondered, you know, how did the media make a smart guy who was a lousy cheerleader into someone who was crazy? So I wondered how many people thought like me, and I vowed, stupidly, I guess, with my own money, to start doing this stuff and testing it with hundreds of Americans and see what events, how people really react to events and compare it to the way the media says they react. So I've learned to hate pundits because the geniuses will say how they think America is responding to something. And what I try to do is actually find out how America is responding to something. And I often see that there's a significant difference.
We're talking with Glenn Kessler of MediaCurves.com. So, Glenn, tell us about this Swift Boat ad against John Kerry, because you were the guy that found that obscure little online ad that was on the internet somewhere.
Yeah, it was interesting because it was it only ran in three states. But it got so much free media, we picked it up before anyone knew about it. And I had a graduate student working in my office. I asked them to look at the 527s, these organizations that support candidates but don't have to worry about their funding going into the candidates' funding. And one of the students found this particular web ad, and we looked at it and thought it was kind of interesting, nothing special. We ran it, and the data that we saw, running it with 650 people, suggested that independents that were leaning to Kerry were really, really impacted by it. And their intensity of support dropped, and some of them actually switched to Bush after viewing the ad. Now, of course, when they view an ad once and they say that their intensity of support declines or they're going to switch, it doesn't mean that that's how they'll vote. But it means temporarily it impacted them. Well, we released it. We sent a news release out to media, and a lady from the Deborah Oren, who used to be editor of the New York Post, she passed away in 2006. She had picked it up and ran it as a front page story in the New York Post, and then it went all over the place. And for a couple of days, our study was fodder for the evening cable news. And then the ad started to run on TV in three states. And again, it was a very small media buy, but it had tremendous impact because of the free media.
Yeah, and news organizations started running that commercial just to talk about it. We're talking with Glenn Kessler of Media Curves. Glenn, tell us about this other ad that we were talking about offline at one point. Some Michael J. Fox ad. You said that that was one of the most effective political ads you've ever seen.
Yes, 2006 ad in the Missouri Senate race. Claire McCaskill was the Democratic candidate, and she was losing until mid-October when Michael J. Fox was recruited to do an ad which supported her view on stem cell research. And those of your listeners who may have seen it, you remember it was Michael J. Fox, a young man who was showing these dramatic signs of Parkinson's disease, and he made a case for the issue of stem cell research not being a local issue, but being a national issue. And it was so compelling, we saw significant movements among Republicans who evidently felt compelled to say that they would consider switching their vote because of that ad.
Now, wow.
Some people may remember when it started to run, Rush Limbaugh said he was Fox was faking it. That Michael J. Fox was faking the tremors and so on, and that became part of the free media story. But that ad and the Swift Boat ad are the two most powerful, impactful ads that we've ever tested.
We're talking with Glenn Kessler of Media Curves. Check out the website. There's a whole lot there. Fascinating studies that they do every day. MediaCurves.com. So, Glenn, let me ask you, this year in these big races, especially, you know, for the White House, the race that everybody was following, what worked and what didn't work?
I can say with the greatest confidence that very little worked. This was a horrible cycle, and I have a hypothesis as to why it was so horrible. Basically, what we saw was emotionally, most people who viewed ads, we use an emotional battery, and we asked them the emotion they feel the most. Most of them were skeptical. There was very little voter movement, with some minor exception. But I believe that where I think University of Wisconsin suggested that 79% of McCain ads were negative, 63% of Obama's ads were negative, the negative ads at a time when there were real serious problems didn't play. In 2004, and those listeners who remember 1988, which was the famous Lee Atwater election with Bush versus Dukakis, where
right.
Dukakis was plastered by those Bush ads. That was a time post-Reagan where there weren't a lot of problems, and so people didn't have anything real to hang on to, so you could take issues, make them up, and bring attention to them. This time, we saw evidence that there was no attention paid to the attacks. They were a complete waste. They should have saved their money and thrown it into the deficit, because it was, in fact, some of the ads worked some mildly for the opposition. There were three McCain ads that we tested that moved more voters towards Obama than they did to McCain.
So they literally backfired.
They backfired because, and this is now editorializing by me, but I believe they backfired because people were actually looking for some answers to problems, and what they got was who was the biggest celebrity, who had seven houses, who was a terrorist, and so on. When in July, the energy prices were devastating commuters, and in September, the stock market crashed. And so, but what were they talking about? For the most part, they were talking about issues that were superficial, uninteresting, and didn't address what people were really fearful of.
We're talking with Glenn Kessler of MediaCurves.com. It's fascinating stuff. Now, what do you think, Glenn? Have we seen a true repudiation in American politics of those Lee Atwater, Karl Rove negative attacks and personal attacks? Or are we just at a point in our history here with these economic problems where something like that isn't going to work?
I think it's the latter. I think that there's always room for rumor. There's always room for innuendo and so on. And those things have always worked. But I'm 55. I wasn't alive during World War II. But I wonder in the 1944 election, when there were real problems, when it was months after D-Day, whether these kinds of attacks happened. I don't know. But certainly at a time when June and July and August, America's focus was on energy, and then September, October, the focus was on economics, both dramatic problems that were precipitous. The fact that the media advisors who ran these campaigns had the audacity and I think stupidity to think that they could draw attention to some of these issues, we were able to quantitatively prove that they were failures, and that maybe if, for example, can't prove it, but maybe if the McCain campaign had not gone negative and had talked about some solutions to problems, it's possible it would have been a little closer, if not a different outcome. I don't know. But what we do know is that definitely the negative ads that were run were truly worthless. They didn't move voters, except on occasion they moved them against the candidate that sponsored the negative ads.
That's absolutely amazing. We're talking with Glenn Kessler of MediaCurves.com. It's a great website. They do some fascinating research. So, Glenn, let me just pose you this scenario. Let's say you have the ear of the Republican National Committee. What do Republicans do now? And I happen to believe that this is a time of great opportunity for Republicans to go back to the drawing board and come forward restaged, reinvented, and we could see some amazing great things. What do you think moving forward they need to do in terms of message development?
Well, one thing I personally believe that they shouldn't do is focus on the social issues, because they can't win on those. I just believe that there's a certain segment of the population that's focused on those, and that it's not enough to overcome the issue of how many Democrats whom they need in order to win elections. They turn many of them off. And so I think that instead of taking these intangible sort of social issues, they could focus on solutions to energy and economy, which actually the best scoring ad in the election was a McCain ad on energy. It was called Pump. And that ad addressed a real issue. And it was the first ad of the election that election season to actually address energy. Obama hadn't addressed it yet. And it was the best scoring ad. But when they went on the issues again with innuendo and social issues, it didn't work. And I've got to think that if America is really challenged regarding energy and education, I believe, and there's some evidence after this election to suggest, what they should be communicating are solutions to issues that transcend all citizens. The social issues have an impact on a relatively small group, but economy, education, and energy transcend all segments of the population, not niches, albeit some large niches, of people who are concerned with certain social issues. So I think that that there's evidence that talking about these intangibles didn't play well, and that the issues for our country have grown so much that I would recommend that they focus on issues that may be boring, but the undecided voters, who are the ones that they have to try to sell to, aren't interested in social issues. They already made a decision, and they would go with one side or the other. It was the tangible issues like economy, energy, education, and health care where the swing voters were.
We're talking with Glenn Kessler of Media Curves. Glenn, that seems to lend a lot of credence to Colin Powell's remarks that he just thought his party had left him, had moved so far to the right on these social issues that they were losing all the moderates and the independents that you actually need to win elections.
Absolutely. And I watched that, and I thought he's been looking at our research. really, because every time we would see one of these, we were testing speeches, we were testing stump speeches and ads. And when the intangibles on both sides, when those were broadcast and tested, they failed. It was the independents were either flat or negative in terms of believability on both Obama's and McCain's negative ads. I'll give you an example, the Obama, the seven houses. Now, in the middle of the energy crisis, they watched the news the night before. Overnight, they created an ad about how many houses John McCain had. Now, this was in July, in the midst of talk and fear about energy. To think that Americans would really move on that. They were testing, they were doing market research or advertising research by running the ad to see what would happen, to see what would get in the free media. And that stuff, when there are real problems, it fails. When life is great, my hypothesis is run as many negative ads as you can. If you can make somebody look lousy on screen, if you can make somebody running around in a tank like the Dukakis ad of 1988, what did that mean? I mean, it was some meaningless, but you could attribute it to a personality, a perception of possible weakness. But when there are real problems, people this time really wanted to hear tangible issues, answers to tangible issues. One other ad worked, and it happened to have been a negative ad, and it was an anti-Palin ad by the American Wilderness Fund. And some of you may have seen it, and I think that our testing of it may have brought it to the forefront on some free media, because it really did work. And that was where hunters in Alaska were shooting wolves by helicopter. And the suggestion was that Palin supported this. And that scored almost as well as the pump ad. But the rest of these things just failed miserably and were a complete waste.
Glenn Kessler is the man behind Media Curves. You can check him out online at MediaCurves.com. And Glenn, if there are folks who want to participate and be subjects in your research, should they just go to the website?
They go to the website, and they will be compensated. We pay people to participate in these surveys, and they just go on MediaCurves.com. You'll see a link that says sign up for surveys, and you'll see many, many interesting surveys of American pop culture, politics, entertainment. So they're fun.
Good stuff. Fascinating research. Glenn, thanks for being with us, and travel safe across the beautiful South.
Thank you very much.